All right, well, if you would stand with me, we're going to turn to page 598. We're going to sing Standing on the Promises.
Got it?
Since of that and free.
said the last verse there. It says, friends may oppose me, and foes may beset me, still will I enter in. There's a lot of people out there that's going to oppose the truth of the Word of God.
Come on now.
A lot of people are going to oppose it. Because it's a narrow path.
Yes.
To follow the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a narrow. The Bible says broad is the way which leads to destruction, and many be there going thereafter. Few there be that find that narrow path and are willing to take it. Why? Because in essence it's going to cost you something. You start living for Jesus Christ, and people are going to want to be less and less around you because of what you stand for and who you're following.
Yep.
The only announcements I got is, Lord willing, there will be public outreach tomorrow from 6 to 7 out there at Front and Pine. Brother Glenn's got all the signs, so if you're interested in heading out there, we will have it tomorrow from 6 to 7. Also, I was able to get the pavilion for our picnic, so we actually got the big pavilion this time. So that'll be September 4th. That Saturday at 12 o'clock for our Labor Day picnic. All are welcome. I got a sign-up sheet up here. If you'd like to bring something, please just sign up over here and put what you're going to bring. You don't have to bring anything. You just come. But if you want to bring something, just please sign up and put it over here so that we don't have duplicates or triplets or whatever with the food. And then also, I know Chris Mitchell mentioned Sunday that he's going to try to unload his container coming back from San Francisco on Saturday, August 28th at 9. So if anybody would like to help out with that, that'll be Saturday at 9 o'clock right down here at his house on Ray Street on the 28th. And please pray for us. We'll be out of town. We're leaving early tomorrow morning. And Lord willing, we'll be back the following Thursday or Friday. I'm not sure which day yet. Please just put that trip in prayer. Pray for my father that God just help him out with what he's going through, and Lord willing, we'll be able to see him. We're praying for you all while we're away. But that's about all I have now.
All right, for our last song, I'm going to turn to page 348. As you please stand, and we'll sing Redeemed. Page 348.
Redeemed, redeemed.
us this evening?
Sister Erica?
I know we were praying for my friend Sarah, who lost her mom, Kim, recently. Her grandmother just passed away this morning. If you could just keep Sarah and her Aunt Lynn in prayer as they, I don't know what, try to stand up.
So keep Sarah in prayer. She was the individual Erica brought up a couple weeks ago that lost her mom, Kim. I believe Miss Cheryl works with. Keep her in prayer. She lost her
grandmother.
And then also for her Aunt Lynn and her kids as well. Difficult situation.
I'd like to ask for some prayer. I was struggling. I admitted myself into Muhlenberg over the past week, and I was out, but I just asked for prayer.
So keep Bill in prayer. Some things he's got going on dealing with.
For myself, for my health issues, and I recently just had a very dear friend pass, and I want to pray for his mom and his shoulder.
You know what his mom's name is?
Phyllis.
So keep Phyllis in prayer.
And have your prayer for the strength of her.
And then also for her, Kim's health, and then Bill for things he's going through. Anybody else have anything?
I praise. I asked a prayer for Randy Hurst with COVID last week. He is recovering. He no longer has the fever.
Amen.
He's very weak. He has nausea, but he is coming along. His wife, Christy, is the one that posted things about him. Oh, he also said this was the most difficult physically and emotionally experience for him, most challenging experience for him. He's around 60, I believe.
That's a blessing to hear that he's dealing better with what he's dealing with COVID. Amen. There's a lot, it's kind of going in the message tonight. Just, I don't know about you, but it's been just I wouldn't say heaviness, but consistently on my mind of the way the world's going. And quickly, the way things are changing, things are happening all around the world. Just this thought of redeeming the time that we do have, because with sicknesses, with things going around in different countries, just some crazy things going on in our world today. Does anybody have anything else they like brought up? Pray for Lydia's stuffy nose. We moved on. Anybody have anything else? Amen. Let's go ahead and start again the study here this evening in 2 Peter chapter number 2. 2 Peter chapter number 2. Looking at it last week and talking about the theme has been for a while here. Dealing with false prophets and false teachers that are in the world today, specifically false teachers, and even some who claim to be false prophets. But 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 1, 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 1, this evening the Bible says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there should be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them
and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust in the day of judgment to be punished, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government. So from verse 4 all the way down to the middle of verse number 10 is one sentence. And so we're gonna look at verse number 4 this evening, and part, the latter part of verse 3 and part 4, this, verse 4 this evening. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening. Lord, I pray you clear my mind, Lord. Father, just give the words that be spoken, dear Lord. Lord, I pray, God, that there be nothing here this evening, Lord, that would quench the spirit. God, that you'd have liberty. Lord, I pray you keep the enemy at bay, dear God. And Lord, Father, help us to hear what your word has to say to us tonight. Dear Lord, help us to redeem the time, dear God, and help us to be faithful to you until you call us home someday. And Lord, we ask these things now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. So the Bible says here in verse number 3, and through covetousness shall with feigned words make merchandise of them. We kind of looked at it last week, how you got a lot of false teachers out there. You have some who claim to be false prophets. You have some out there that claim to be apostles. And a lot of them, they're after one thing, your money. They're trying to make merchandise of them. Now, I know around here, Christian bookstores are shutting up all over the place, but if you do go to a Christian bookstore, one of them like Lifeway down in South Carolina, what they have up here, you go in there and there's books and books and books and books and books on all kinds of things dealing with Christianity. Now, I would say the majority of them that are in a mainstream Christian bookstore, I probably wouldn't give you a dime for them. That's just the honest truth. Not saying that there can't be a good one or two in there. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, but for the most part, I wouldn't put much stock in a book you can find in a Christian bookstore today. Okay? One of the first things I do is look what kind of Bible they use.
Yeah,
right. So if they didn't use the right Bible, how are you going to start teaching me on something else? Yeah. Not saying you can't get something from somebody who uses another Bible, but if you don't even know where the scriptures are at, how are you going to try to teach me something? Yeah. That might sound a little narrow-minded, but it's the truth. You wouldn't ask somebody to come into church, look, on your questionnaire for this church, and ask what Bible you use. I wouldn't let somebody come in as your pastor preach from another Bible. It ain't happening. You can use it. You can be out there and use another Bible. I'm not, that's between you and God. But there's no man that's going to get up here and use an NIV, an NASV. If he starts using it, I'm falling down.
Amen.
You're not preaching. Right. That's how serious I take the Word of God. You say, preacher, why are you so serious on that? Because, listen, There's teachers out there that are false teachers that are going to try to make merchandise of you and try to deceive you. I try to check everything out that comes across my path. Double check, triple check, make sure, okay, does it line up with the scriptures? Can I trust it? How is this individual's life? How is this individual living their life? So the Bible says here in 2 Peter, he says in the latter days, especially the time that we're living in, we have to be careful and we have to watch and we have to filter everything through. What does God's Word say? But again, that takes work. But he says here in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, and through covenants shall they with feigned work make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. With feigned words make merchandise of you, and then judgment's coming upon them. But that judgment says it lingereth not nor slumbereth not. Take your Bible and look at Proverbs chapter number 24. Proverbs 24 and verse number 19. Proverbs 24, verse 19. Nothing is taking God by surprise today. Nothing going on in this world is coming across God's path, and God's being surprised what's happening. God sees and God knows all that's happening. And God, there is a judgment day coming. There is a judgment day coming for these false prophets and false teachers. Look at Proverbs chapter 24 and verse number 19. Proverbs 24 verse 19. Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked. For there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. My son, Fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. For their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both? The Bible says here of the wicked man, of the evil man, the Bible says, for their calamity, their destruction shall come in a moment, suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both? Same book, flip over to Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 12. Proverbs 6, 12. So when God brings judgment, it's going to happen quick and it's going to happen swiftly when God brings judgment. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 12. Proverbs 6, 12. Proverbs 6, verse number 12. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart, he deviseth mischief continually, he soweth discord. Verse 15. Therefore, because of these things listed in verse 12 through 14 about this naughty person, this wicked individual, the Bible says in verse 15, therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. There's nothing to fix it. When this judgment comes, when this calamity comes upon this individual, there's no remedy. There's nothing that you can do to fix the situation. And so when God, through Peter, talks here in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 3, these individuals make merchandise of you. God says that their judgment and their damnation neither lingers nor slumbers. It's coming. God knows exactly what's going on, and God will bring judgment upon these individuals. Take your Bible and look over at Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 13. Isaiah 30, verses 13 and 14. Isaiah 30, 13 and 14. If this is not the United States of America, I don't know what is. I know it applies to Israel. But look at verse 13 and 14. And this is because Israel's trusting in Egypt. Look what verse 13 says. Therefore, this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. And he shall break it as the breaking of a potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it assured to take fire from the hearth, or to take water withal out of the pit. Bible saying here in Isaiah 30, verses 13 and 14, listen, this wall is about to break, this thing's about to come down, and there's nothing you can do about it, and it's going to happen suddenly. I feel like the United States of America is on that brink. Mm-hmm. It's right there on that brink. Look at the stuff going on in Afghanistan. There's something more behind this thing.
Yeah.
There, you take down in Haiti, chaos, craziness going on down in Mission Port, South America, craziness, stuff going on down there, Venezuela, Colombia, Honduras. You got all these different countries, Greece, things going on within the governments that are just going chaotic. Look, and sometimes as your pastor, I want us always to be about the Lord's business. But I also want us to not be ignorant of what's going on. This thing, we're on the precipice of this wall breaking forward. I kind of picture as a dam that's about to bust, and I think right now the only reason God is sparing the United States of America is because of Christians, the true believers, that are in this nation. That's the only reason I believe this thing hasn't busted loose yet, that God still has purposes for this country. But we're right there, we're right down the precipice of God saying, go ahead, you're going over the edge, you're going over the waterfall, the dam's about to break loose, and you're not fixing it. You're not fixing it. The Bible says here to Israel, because they trusted in Egypt, that this thing's getting ready to break, and they're not fixing it. The judgment's coming, and you're not switching it around, you're not changing it. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. These things need to happen. These things need to happen. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 1. The Bible says here. Paul telling the church there at Thessalonica, this is what Paul tells them. He says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." But look what he says in verse 4. "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of night nor of darkness. Therefore, because this thing's going to happen quick and suddenly, and that we're not children of darkness but of the day, therefore," verse 6, "let us not sleep as others, but let us watch and be sober." That is to us today. I know it's written to the church there at Thessalonica, but I believe we can apply it today. God's telling us. He's saying, listen, don't sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. What do most Americans want in this country today? They want us to go, they want to go back to normal. That's what they want. Give me the shot. Give me whatever remedy there is for what we're facing. And let's just get back to me living the life of my life the way I lived it. It's not going back to the normal way again. We're never going back to the way it used to be again. I don't know about you, but in my spirit, the Lord's just saying, son, get ready. Get ready. Spend as much time as you can in my word. Redeem the time. Do what you can for the Lord Jesus Christ while we have the freedoms, while we have the money, while we have the opportunity. Do as much as we can now for the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But we know when the Lord comes back, it's going to be like a thief in the night.
Yes, sir.
And God gives us a warning here in 1 Thessalonians to not sleep as others do, but to watch and be sober. Verse 7. "For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunk in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." We're not appointed to wrath. We're not appointed to God's wrath. I believe that. We're not appointed to God's wrath. The church, I've said this before, the church is not going to go through the tribulation. But that doesn't mean that the church won't go through some persecution. There's a difference between God's wrath and persecution from the world and the enemy. Two distinct punishments or things going through. God's wrath, God is not pouring His wrath out upon His bride. It's not happening. But do I think persecutions can come? Absolutely. You take missionaries or individuals that are Christians, and I know they're just Christians, in Afghanistan right now. It's a mess for people that are in Afghanistan right now trying to get out. But I believe there's saved individuals in that country. Do you need to pray for them? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because if they get found out and they know that they're a Christian, off with your head. I was watching an interview with one of the Taliban leaders, commanders over there. And they had a little tribunal. This happened like 2 or 3 days ago. An individual they found stealing sheep. It was either he gets beat with a rod in the town square, or he has his hand chopped off. They don't play around over there. So if you get found out you're a Christian, I know when I was in Saudi Arabia, you couldn't carry around the Bible. You couldn't even wear a chain that had a cross on it. You weren't allowed to do it. They had... Now, understand what I'm going to say. The majority of this world has rejected Jesus Christ. Understand? Do I feel bad for individuals in Haiti? Yes, but when that government has made Satan their God, what more do you expect? Is there bad things happening in Afghanistan? Absolutely. But you ain't going to preach Jesus to them. They don't want Jesus. They don't want this Bible. Actually, they want to kill true Christians. Brethren, let's be careful. Let's be careful. I hope I say this the right way and you understand what I'm saying with it. That we make sure that we're biblical and not just going off of feelings. You take a nation that rejects God and wants nothing to do with God, God's going to take them out. And brethren, it's only going to get worse on this planet. We're going to see it tonight. Those three things, individuals listed in 2 Peter chapter 2, you had the angels he talks about first, and God judges the angels, and angels will be judged. Then right on that, you had Noah. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. How long did Noah preach while he was building that ark? 120 years. How many people got on that ark? Eight people got on that ark. When God brings down judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah because of that wicked and ungodly city and the way that they lived, how many people escaped out of that city? Four. And only three made it up into the mountains. Three. Brethren, there are few individuals in this world today that are truly born again and are believers of God's word, that are truly saved and converted and love Jesus Christ with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Few. It is not this vast, huge majority of a world that loves Jesus or wants anything to do with him. Now, a false Jesus, absolutely. A false Jesus, yes. False teachers, yes. False prophets, yes. But this Bible and the true gospel of Jesus Christ, no. You know why? Because a true gospel and a true word of God requires you to submit to the authority of God Almighty. And most of mankind does not want to submit to God. They don't want to submit to God's authority. They want to look, give me a little bit of Jesus, give me a little bit of God, but still let me be able to do what I want to do. That's what the majority of the United States wants. Give me a little bit of God, maybe if I want to go to God, just give me a little bit of that. But when it comes to me giving God myself, no, I don't want to do that because I don't want God telling me what to do. Frowardness. What do we read there in Proverbs? Frowardness. You're not going to tell me what to do. That's the motto of the U.S., right? You're not going to tell me what to do. Who are you to tell me what to do? You got little 4-year-olds telling people that. Little 4 and 5-year-olds telling their grandparents, you can tell me what to do. Rebellion. They don't want to submit to authority. Especially don't want to submit to the authority of God. And God's going to judge it someday. The Bible says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, be awake, be sober, don't sleep during the day. Realize, listen, this thing's getting close to being over with. Help us to be about our Father's business. Now, flip on over back to 2 Peter chapter 2 and look at verse number 4 where it talks about the angels. 2 Peter chapter 2, and look what he says in verse number 4. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 4. The Bible says, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and darkness, and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. God didn't spare the angels that sinned. God didn't spare the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. God deals with sin, and God will not put up with sin, even if it's his own angels that commit sin. The Bible says here that God spared not the angels that sinned. Now, three things we see here. He said he cast them down to hell. He delivered them to chains of darkness reserved unto judgment. You see, there was something that happened at some point in time to where the Bible says that the angels, at least some angels, were charged by God with folly. Take your Bible, look at Job, the book of Job chapter 4 and verse 17. At some point in history, don't ask me when because I have no clue. And what we're going to look at a little bit this evening before we close out, a lot of it I have no idea about it because the Bible's kind of vague on it and I'm not going to speculate. But this one thing I do know, I know that there's angels out there. I know God's out there, God the Father. I know you have Jesus Christ, who's God the Son, and you have the Holy Spirit, which is God the Holy Spirit. Three in one, one in three, the Trinity. God's out there. You also have the devil, Lucifer. You have devils, which are fallen angels. But you also have angels that at some point were charged with folly. Look at Job, the book of Job, chapter 4, and verse number 17. Job 4, and look at verse 17 and 18. Job 4, book of Job, chapter 4, and verse 17. Shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? Let me just say this. How you become just before God and how you become pure before God, our maker, is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Verse number 18. Behold, he put no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with folly. Now, at some time, Job, the book of Job here says that God charged his angels with folly. What is folly? One of the definitions of folly is this: an absurd act which is highly sinful. Any conduct contrary to the laws of God or man, sin or scandalous crime. God charged his angels with folly. They committed some type of sin, and God charged them with it, and that means to impute or ascribe to lay to one's charge, to accuse, to make a charge or assertion against these angels because of the folly they committed. Take your Bible and look over at Jude, the book of Jude, in verse number 6. Book of Jude, right before Revelation. The book of Jude. It's the book right before you get to Revelation. Look at Jude and look at verse number 6. Now, 2 Peter said that there is angels that sin. God cast them to hell. He delivered them in chains of darkness, and he reserved unto them judgment. Look at Jude chapter 6, or Jude 1, verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, hath he reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. That's pretty wild there. The Bible says that there's angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. They did something here in Jude verse 6 that didn't please God, and it could go back to cross-reference there in Job chapter 4 to where they committed some type of folly. And the Bible says here in Jude 6 that he is reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of that great day. Brethren, there is a whole nother world out there. There is a whole nother world out there to where God, the Lord, these angels are chained. You think God, because he's the creator, could just put them there and keep them there. But the Bible says that God uses chains. Some type of chain. He chains these angels and he reserves them there. In this place of darkness until the judgment of that great day. Look over at Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. Matthew 25 and verse 41. Matthew 25 and look at verse 41. Matthew 25 and verse 41. Matthew 25, verse 41. This is the Lord Jesus Christ talking at the end of the tribulation. And look at verse 40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then look at verse 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. God didn't prepare. Nowhere in the scripture you're going to see where God prepared hell or the lake of fire for man. But you do find here in Matthew 25, verse 41, that God prepared for the devil and his angels everlasting fire. Man chooses to go to hell. Men and women choose to go to hell. They choose to reject Jesus Christ. They choose their own way, and the end of that is death, and the consequences that they must pay for their sins is everlasting fire, everlasting judgment. You see, when you sin, your sin must be judged before God. Your sin must be judged. The only problem is if you don't have an advocate, if you don't have someone else pay for your sins, you need to pay for your sins. But the only problem is you can't pay for your sins. Therefore, that's why men or women that reject God, reject Jesus Christ, they therefore have to pay for their sins, and the only way to pay for their sins is for eternity in the lake of fire through the judgment of God. And they'll never be able to pay for their sins because they're sinful. That's why Jesus Christ had to come. That's why only Jesus Christ could die for our sins. And it proves out that Jesus Christ had to be God, because God is the only one that's pure, holy, and righteous. He's the only one that can pay for our sins. An angel cannot die for me because I'm not an angel. A lamb or a bullock or an ox, it can temporarily, in the Old Testament, make a covering for sin, but it couldn't wash away sin because we're not a sheep, we're not an ox, we're not a cow, we're a man. So we need a man to die for us. Only problem is that man has to be sinlessly perfect. Well, there's only one individual in this whole entire universe out there that's sinless and perfect, and it's God. Amen. He's the only one that can make an atonement and pay the price for our sin debt. So the Bible says here that God prepared everlasting fire for the devils and his angels. Take your Bible and look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 29. I'm going to close with these passages here. But I want us as Christians, as believers, to realize, as Ephesians chapter 6 states, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. We have to realize, and we have to be sober, we have to be children of the day, children of the light, to realize the tactics and the devices that the enemy will try to use to distract us and get us off course. Look at Matthew chapter 8 and verse 29. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" Back in 2 Peter chapter 2, we read about in verse 4 that God's going to judge the angels, that their damnation lingereth not. God's going to deal with them. He's cast them into hell, some of them, delivered them to chains of darkness, reserved unto judgment. But brethren, there's still devils out there that we have to contend with. We have to be aware of that. Just because Jesus died on the cross, he was buried, he rose again the third day, we learn about the apostles, the last book or that is in our Bible is Revelation, John wrote it, and then, okay, devils stop messing with mankind. Absolutely not. There's still devils out there. There's still individuals, I believe, out there that are possessed, that are devil-possessed, because I don't think it just disappeared after Jesus went up into heaven. I believe there's still devils out in this world trying to influence this world, are influencing this world, and are trying to mess with churches and true Bible believers that love God. I believe we have an enemy out there. Satan's the head of it, but he's got a lot of angels that follow him. A lot of angels that follow him. And here Jesus has to deal with it. And he said, they cried out to him and said, behold, they cried out saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? The devils know. We read it on Sunday night in Revelation 12:12 that the devil himself knows he's got a short time. It's coming up to where he's realized, I got a short time. I think now he knows the time is short. I believe the devils, those that follow Lucifer, Satan, they know at some point they're going to be judged for their rebellion against God. Do you not think that they want to mess with you? Do you not think that they want to mess with the church and how the services go forward in this church here and churches across America that are preaching the truth? Absolutely. Look at Revelation chapter 9. Evil and wicked angels, devils, still mess with and possess men today. Look at Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9 and verse number 1. Revelation 9, verse number 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Now, I do not believe this is symbolic, which is wow. Somewhere on this earth right now, there's a bottomless pit. And you need a key to get into it. You say, preacher, you believe that? Absolutely. The Bible says, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto where? Unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. I'll tell you this, God cares more about his creation than these people out here who are going green. God says, you want to put so much emphasis on save the whales? You want to put so much emphasis on saving chickens? You want to put so much emphasis on saving the trees? Because we're destroying the rainforest and all this bad stuff that mankind's doing to create to this world and this planet. God says, okay, I'm going to take care of the green trees and the grass, and I'm taking you out. You need to fear God. This is God's earth. God created it, and God can do whatever he wants with it. And God says, okay, you want to put the emphasis on the tree? I'm going to save the tree, and you're going to have to deal with me. Verse 5, and to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as a torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days, this is a fascinating verse right here, Revelation 9, verse 6. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. You want everlasting life? You want the fountain of youth? You want to live forever on this earth? God says, okay, I'm going to make it so that where you can't even die if you want to die. Look, you don't mess around with God. You do not play games with God. But most mankind thinks that they're smart enough that they're going to outwit, they're going to outfool, they're going to out-trick God and get around on him and get what they want. God says, nuh-uh, I'm going to give you what you want. You want to take, understand what I'm saying, there's nothing wrong with taking vitamins, but a lot of people today are consumed with exercise, they're consumed with diet, they're consumed with why are you so consumed with it? Because they're afraid to die. They want to live forever. God says, okay, you want to live forever, you don't want to die, I'm going to keep it to where you're going to try to die, and you're not going to be able to. I've seen men before in court cases that in foreign countries that were facing a tribunal for war crimes. And this one individual, I forget if it was in Romania or Ukraine, one of them over there, and he was facing war crimes. And he goes in and he's sitting before the judge and he's protected and all that, and he's going to be sentenced to death and some other stuff they have before he goes to whatever. That he was facing some things before he died. He sits there, and as soon as the judgment comes down upon him, he takes some cyanide pills, kills himself right there. See, he took it into his own hands and not face the judgment that he deserved. He took it. When it comes to God, you ain't running from it. God's going to say, no, you're going to stand right here and you're going to face what you need to face. You're not going to take your own life and escape from it. God says, you're going to deal with it. And when I say it's time for you to go, then it's time to go. We're not going to get, this world is not going to get around on God. But look at verse number 7. And the shape of those locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. Now this is crazy too. I think this is a real thing. And on their heads were as it were crowns like gold. And their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of a woman. And their teeth were as teeth of lions. And they had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions. And there were stings in their tails. And their power was to hurt men for 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. Wild stuff. There's an angel in this bottomless pit, and he's the king of it, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, and in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there cometh two woes more hereafter. You know what I take from verses 7 through verse 10 there, talking about these creatures? It sounds like a bunch of confusion to me. They have faces like men, hair like women, breastplates of. They got tails like scorpions. They got wings. They sound like horses running to battle. They got like lion's teeth. A confusing looking creature. What has man got going on today? A lot of confusion. You got men that have hair like women. You got men trying to be women. You got women trying to be men. You have all this confusion. As if God says, "You want confusion? I'm going to give you confusion." Here's these things that have come up out of the bottomless pit. You want to be different. You want to be wild. You want to do what you want to do. You want to have genetics where you deal with DNA and transform things. I saw something today, just a quick snippet come up, and I might have it wrong, but something to where they're able to genetically, I don't even know, make a brain or something, and it started developing eyeballs. You got cloning going on today. You got people messing with genetics, with DNA, doing crazy stuff in laboratories that we don't even have no clue about. They ain't going to tell us. Genetically modifying individuals. I know there's stuff out there talking about women that have trouble getting pregnant, and they can modify the egg. Okay, it's coming. I don't know, it might already be there. Do you want your baby to have blue eyes or brown eyes? Do you want them to be 6 foot tall or 5 foot tall? Brethren, there's some wild stuff coming down the pipe. So you say, preacher, what do? We stay in the Bible. Amen. Stay close to Jesus Christ. Be about your Savior's business. And what are we supposed to do that's our Savior's business? Tell others about Jesus Christ. Amen. Tell them that there's a Savior. Tell them that there's hope. Tell them that there's a way out to where you can have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. To where you can spend forever in heaven. Because there's some bad things coming on this planet very soon. Verse number 13. This is another wild one right here. Verse 13 and 14. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. It's wild. You still have the river Euphrates over there. So, preacher, you believe that? Yeah, there's somewhere in that river over there. Now, we ain't going to go find it because I don't think God will let you find it because I think you'll be blinded to it. But somewhere, the Bible says in Revelation 9, verse number 14, somewhere in that great river Euphrates, there's four angels that are bound. That's what the Bible says. I said this a few weeks ago about why the church has lost power. Why has the church lost power? Because one way is we've got our focus off of what are reading and staying in our Bibles and what our Bible says and what this world is telling us. There's stuff out there that I don't want to know about. The only way I want to know about anything that's out there is what my Bible tells me. That's it. I don't want to know no more. I don't, you know why? Because if I knew more, it scared me to death. I don't need to see what's going on out there right now. I trust God and know God has it all under control. God knows all that's going on. And I'm just going to serve Jesus Christ, be faithful to him. But I say these things tonight that we read there in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, that there's angels that God has judged, that he's cast down to hell. He's delivered to chains of darkness, and they're reserved unto judgment. Look what verse 15 says, and we're going to close with this. And the four angels were loosed. These angels that are in the great river Euphrates, where, and maybe it's not the river Euphrates that we know today, but there's a river out there somewhere called Euphrates that has four angels in it. God looses those angels. And look what verse 15 says. And those four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. You know how many, now, I'm not taking into account everything that's occurred up to Revelation chapter 9. But the population today is close to 8 billion people, 7.9, right in there, ballpark figure, 7.9 billion people on this planet right now. If you take out a third, 2.3 billion people, these four angels are going to come out in an hour, in a day. What does it say? An hour, a day, a month, and a year to slay the third part of men. You want to talk about something that's catastrophic? Can you imagine the death that you're going to have to deal with if all of a sudden one-third of mankind died? Can you imagine? Look, and I'm not trying to be ugly tonight, but I'm trying to get us to think just how that would smell. Look, I was down there at Katrina when Katrina hit back in 2010. I went down there, flew down to Mobile, Alabama, and I worked down there. We were working at the airfield where I was at, and they were bringing all the bodies that they were recovering from cleaning out the cities and all that from New Orleans. They were bringing it to a specific spot where FEMA was set up, and they had it set up on the other side of the airfield. And when that wind blew towards us where we were sleeping, you couldn't imagine the smell of those dead bodies, and that wasn't even close to being what you're facing here in Revelation. These things this evening that I'm looking at, and we're looking at in Scripture a little bit about what's going on with angels and their reserved judgment and all that, is not meant to be discouraging. To me, at this point in time, in a sense, is exciting. And what I mean by that is not so much about what's going to happen to the angels and all that, is that our redemption draweth nigh. See, look, this all that occurs here from in Revelation, look, I'm not going to be here for it. When these creatures come up out of this bottomless pit and a third part of men are wiped out in this situation here by these four angels, I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be over there on that other side enjoying time with the Lord Jesus Christ, enjoying heaven, enjoying glory. But the reason we look at it tonight is what it says there in Thessalonians is to help us get our mindset and our eyesight and our Christian walk in focus of what really matters in the days that we're living in right now. And all the craziness that's occurring, may it drive us to draw closer to Jesus Christ, to love him more, to be more about his business, to serve him, to be sensitive, to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I'll say it again, to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, to have discernment, and to be not tricked by the enemy and their devices, but to be about our Father's business. I'm excited about it. We see these days, we know according to Scripture, these things must happen. But when these things start happening, we as Christians can glory in knowing that it's not long. It ain't long. It could be tonight. It could be tomorrow. Jesus Christ come through those clouds and take us home. Let us be about his business. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this opportunity tonight. Lord, I just thank you for how good you are to us. Lord, I thank you for your word. Dear Lord, I pray you'd help us to learn from your scriptures. Help us to take it to heart. And Lord, help us to love you. And Lord, we just we glorify you in all that you do for us. And help us to have discernment, dear God. Lord, help us not to be ignorant of the devil and the enemy's devices, dear Lord. And help us to have eyes to see and ears to hear, dear God, what you're trying to tell us. And Lord, we just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.